Here we go. Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we have the story of the Key West bound tourist who thought mailing drugs to the hotel was a good idea. And the TSA says Grandma's cane might be a lethal weapon.
For a couple of weeks now, we've been promising you a trip to Hawaii. And indeed, today at 3:20, we finally get around to take you to the Steelgrass Chocolate Farm on the island of Kauai for a look at a fascinating tour that will teach you everything about chocolate.
Seems like an appropriate day to talk about Hawaii. It's pouring rain outside. At 3:35, our Hawaiian adventure continues with a visit with Marcus Madsen, a flight-seeing pilot for Wings Over Kauai.
And at 3:50, Gwen Duncan joins us to discuss upcoming changes in passports and how to know if any of it might impact you somehow.
It's President's Day weekend. More and more, an inflatable raft seems like a great long-term investment if you live in Northern California. And you are tuned to The Travel Guys.
On the road again, just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man, king of the road, riding on the city of New Orleans.
Chickens, I want the Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome, everyone. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, I have to ask you, I was listening to the news, and they used, John used the word cahoots.
Cahoots,
as, you know, part of today's...
Like being in cahoots with somebody.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, is it... Really, people are still using that. I mean, that's a word that goes back to like that of the Western days.
And
you know?
Of all the things that have happened today, that was the thing that caught your eye.
I don't know.
Your ear.
Kind of did.
Cahoots. Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to use that a lot over the next week just because I don't like how it feels when you say
it. I'm Mark Hoffman, and that gentleman over there losing his mind is Tom Romano. He's been doing this radio thing for a long time.
Yeah, okay.
And,
boy, you've got a stack, a double stack of travel news today.
We don't have very much time. If we piddle around, we're not going to get through all of this.
Should we get to it?
We better too.
All right. With that being said, at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, bring you up to date on the travel news. And with it, Mark Hoffman.
Well, here is a story about a 24-year-old man from Arizona. Robert Bear was arrested at a hotel in Key West last week for allegedly mailing some meth there. Bear said he was hoping to try meth for the first time while he was on vacation on the Key West island. He mailed the package. When he mailed it, he was not yet a guest at the hotel, so he addressed it only to the hotel itself. So when it came, of course, addressed to the hotel, the staff opened the small box. They found the drugs wrapped in dirty socks and paper. And he had also included his name and return address.
Great, great. So who it was from. So, but then, see, he didn't get arrested for actually being the recipient, but for a federal offense of mailing drugs through the mail,
being incredibly stupid. After finding the drugs, the hotel called the police, and an undercover officer was sent to the hotel to act as the hotel manager. Bear arrived, checked in with the fall manager, received his package, and then was arrested in the lobby after a brief struggle with more undercover officers. Mailing drugs to you would have thought he would have at least addressed the package to himself. Good Lord.
Okay, you got the cane one coming up here?
This is kind of cool. I know this was, you found this humoring. An 80-year-old woman traveling through Myrtle Beach International Airport claims to have had no idea that her walking cane concealed a hidden sword within it. And apparently, according to TSA, this happens very regularly.
Unbelievable.
People buy canes on secondary markets at thrift shops and things of that sort and don't realize they've bought a cane that has a weapon inside of it. When they get to TSA and they're going through security, then that tends to show up. And now grandma's got, you know, a 2.5-foot sword in her cane. I think it's
so. You know, how does that work out? You know, I bought it at the thrift shop. Really, I didn't even know it was there, and they just kind of let people go.
They'll let you go, but you're not taking the sword with you.
Well, of course.
I mean, you can have the cane, can't have what's in it. This is kind of interesting. There were this is on a Monarch Airlines flight from London to Malaga, Spain. And a couple of lawyers got into a fight bickering over an armrest. Believe it or not, a male and a female lawyer got into an argument, and the flight attendants offered to move them, and one of them said, I'm not moving. I relocate her. I'm not going anywhere. I paid for this seat. This woman is obnoxious and rude, and you can relocate her, but I'm not moving anywhere. And the female then replied, well, don't stop spitting on me. Apparently, every time he said something, the gentleman was spraying around. She says, I'm a lawyer and I know my rights. The other guy said, well, I'm a lawyer too, you stupid woman. And it just all accelerated from there.
What was the outcome?
It doesn't say. Let's see. Eventually, a flight attendant declared both attorneys in contempt. The pair of squabbling barristers were separated for the remainder of the flight, and both passengers vowed to appeal to a higher authority.
There you go.
Oh, goodness. Sunset Boulevard is reopened on Broadway. Glenn Close, who won a Tony Award over 20 years ago in Andrew Lloyd Webber's Sunset Boulevard, is back on Broadway. It opened just last Thursday night. Glenn Close, of course, plays Norma Desmond. You know, the famous line, I'm ready for my close-up, Mr. DeMille.
Oh, boy.
I'm taking some Sports Leisure Travelers to New York City, and we're going to see that show
good
in late
for you.
April.
Good for them.
Saw it for 22 years ago, and we will get to see it again. Sheraton has announced their point changes for next year, and unlike what usually happens, you know, there's usually 300 point changes.
Right.
Most of them require more points.
Right.
This year, Sheraton, for some unknown reason, two-thirds of their point moves are downward.
Well, yay for us.
Yeah, so you can get a little bit of a bargain maybe at
here, let me have that. I need to look at the fine details.
Yes, sir.
By the way, everything we talk about
pretty much
can be found at travelguysradio.com.
It can. If you look there, American Airlines has a response to families traveling with nut allergies and stuff like this. Mm-hmm. Every airline is different. This is a really interesting story about American Airlines and a family that went traveling there. But United Airlines doesn't serve peanuts on their flights. Southwest, of course, will take the peanuts off if you ask them. This lady was flying on American Airlines, and they ended up taking her family off the plane because she had indicated that she felt, you know, there could be an emergency, and so the pilot just took her right off the airplane. If you have a nut allergy, be aware of the fact that all of the airlines are different. And here's something kind of interesting. Did I mention this last week? There's a hotel in San Francisco that has an urban fee.
No, I don't think we did.
The Sonesta.
An urban fee?
Yes. Can you believe that? The Serrano Hotel in San Francisco has a $25 a night urban fee.
I'm sorry, I'm confused.
It covers
what
a bicycle, transportation around town in their special car, high-speed internet, and a couple of other things that probably a lot of people would use.
I thought it may be a fee if you wore your hat funny or something.
$25 urban fee. There you go. All right, we got a couple other things here. They can keep. We got to get out of here. That's your travel news for today.
There you go. By the way, you know, when I travel with my family, they claim they have a nut allergy because they're with me.
Because they're with you.
Yeah. Okay, let's see here. Coming up right after a short break, it's time to finally take you to the islands, off to Kauai.
Chocolate time.
You bet. Next.
You've got the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano on your radio, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. If you've listened to us once or twice, you know that the Travel Guys are big fans of the islands. And recently, Mark had an opportunity to go over and poke around a little bit and ran across one of his favorite places. And we have a special guest today. Mark, tell us who we have.
We have a group of Sports Leisure Travelers, a small group going to the islands in early May. And so if you would like to go with us, we still have space, and we'll talk about that later. But right now joining us is Will Lydgate. Will is part of Steelgrass Chocolate, which in my opinion is one of the truly great things to do when you're in the islands. The islands in the last half dozen years have come up with a lot of wonderful attractions that didn't exist before, a lot of them agricultural related. And this one is definitely that. Will and his dad have created a really cool place for visitors to go and experience not only the world of chocolate, but a lot of the rest of Hawaii. Will, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Hey, aloha, Mark. Aloha, Tom. Thanks so much for having me.
Will, how long has Steelgrass Chocolate been around on Kauai?
Steelgrass chocolate in its proper modern incarnation, I'd say since about 2008. So we're coming on 10 years. The farm, you know, started sometime before that. But we're coming on 10 years of agricultural tourism and ag tourism. We were pioneers in that era and area. And it's amazing that it's been 10 years of chocolate farm tours.
Well, and when we first started coming to your farm, Will, you guys didn't even have chocolate yet. I mean,
you had to grow the trees first.
We thought that was pretty amazing that we actually paid money to go tour a chocolate farm that didn't produce any chocolate yet. But what made it a good value was the attitude that you take towards your visitors, the fact that very small groups, they're only done a few times a week. So people are having a really exclusive experience when they come to visit you. And it's not just about chocolate. You've incorporated from the very beginning all of these other educational factors. Why don't you give us a little bit of a rundown of folks come to Steelgrass Chocolate for a tour? What happens?
Sure. Well, of course, we greet people. We have lots of chocolate now, which thanks for your compliments. I always enjoyed giving the tours, but I really feel that they're getting better and better and better. So you show up, we send people directions, and they drive to our place in the interior. It's always nice to get visitors off the coast. A lot of times the visitors spend a lot of times on the coast, but there's a tremendous amount of land. You know, the runoff from these, you know, millions of years of old volcanoes, and it's green and it's lush up here. So people drive up into the interior and come to our farm. We greet them. Right now it's me. I've got a lovely guide, Andrea. She's getting quite TripAdvisor famous, if anyone wants to look her up on our TripAdvisor page. When we are feeling sad or in maybe an off mood, we just look at our TripAdvisor and it cheers us right up, because we remember all the happy people and fun times that we've had. We greet you. Currently, I've got Mac Nuts we crack. We've got bug spray for all the people that get bit by bugs no matter what. God help them. Then we feed people chocolate right now. And this changes, you know, depending on what I'm cooking up. And I'm always improving the tour. We serve a couple of inclusions. So our dark milk bar, 50% dark chocolate, 10% very high quality milk powder, and coffee and cacao nibs. It's called our breakfast bar. And also our salt bar, which is a 70% dark chocolate. Of course, the chocolate all from our farm, with a little bit of sea salt. Then we introduce people to ourselves, to what we're doing. I talk a little bit about my family history in the Hawaiian Islands, which I think is worth mentioning. It goes back to 1860s.
Yeah, you guys at Lydgates have been on Kauai for a while.
Yeah. Kauai, my great-grandpa came here in the 1880s. He was grew up, his dad came in 1865. So I think it's worth mentioning the family history stuff, and there's a lot of Hawaii heritage, and I like to weave that into the tours, Mark. I think it's important. We're in the Hawaiian Islands. It's not just sun, surf, and sand. There's a lot of really cool history, and when people come to a farm, I really like to put that forward, and I think it's that stuff that help people to really feel like, wow, I'm really so glad I came. I learned so much I didn't think I would learn. You know, I thought I was just going to go eat chocolate and da-da, and then leave, but we weave a story out of it. It's basically a three-hour, you know, performance.
Well, let me ask you this, Will. Let me jump in real quick and tell me, why is it that we're doing chocolate there on the islands? Is there something special about the soil, the conditions? Tell me about...
Well, it's in the United States, and it's far enough south. That's really the most special thing. Hawaiian soil, of course, grows chocolate great, abundant rainfall, sunshine, and these are things that chocolate trees love, but mostly it's the only place in the United States the chocolate tree can grow, because it's the only state that's doesn't get cold that cold at night. You know, you can't grow it in Texas, California, Florida, or Alaska, North Dakota, but you can grow it in the Hawaiian Islands. So chocolate trees have been here since the 1870s, but, you know, with the sort of decline of sugarcane and pineapple, agriculture, people who own ag land, people who are farming, looking for specialty crops, things with a little more sex appeal, things that can sell for a higher price to support the valuation of the land. So you're seeing a lot more chocolate. It really started about 10 years ago we were some of the pioneers, and it's getting better and better over here.
Probably one of the best parts of your of the whole experience there at Steelgrass is the chocolate tasting, where folks get an opportunity to taste 10 different chocolates, some of them exotic and some of them not so much. But in the course of that tasting, you teach them about the difference between milk chocolate and dark chocolate, and what the good qualities of dark chocolate are, and how much dark chocolate has to be in there. And really, it is a tremendous educational experience.
Yes, and the distinctive flavors that are found in what we call bean-to-bar chocolate. So it's very similar to the discoveries of the wine industry starting in the 50s and 60s. Or remember coffee in the old days, you know, came in a can and it was coffee. And now, you know, coffee is light roast, dark roast, fruity flavors. It's from Honduras, you know.
Right.
Same thing's happening to chocolate. People are realizing, wow, this is a tree that's been bred for 5,000 years, at least 5,000 years, four distinctive flavors. And it's not just the dark, melty stuff or the brown, you know, sweet stuff, the light brown milk chocolate. There's actually distinctive flavors, and I show all of my people who come definitively those flavors. If you had never tasted a fruity flavor in chocolate, you're going to taste it on my tour. If you've never tasted a spice note in chocolate, there's one of our chocolates that tastes just like coffee. No one's adding coffee. This is not one of the inclusions. It's a pure dark chocolate, two ingredients, but it has a strong coffee flavor, and that's coming from the genetics of the beans. So when people find that out, there's so much more to chocolate, and specifically this chocolate produced at lower temperatures, so all of the health benefits, specifically the flavanols that get talked about so much, aren't burned off at the high temperatures that industrial chocolate is processed at, the stuff that's not good for you. But this dark chocolate, craft chocolate, is pretty healthy.
Will is with Steelgrass Chocolate on the island of Kauai. And Will, at the end of the tour, folks have tasted chocolate. They've learned about some of the plants and some of the things that are grown in the islands. And then they get an opportunity to be able to buy some chocolate also. It's the outdoor gift shop at Steelgrass Chocolate.
That is absolutely true. We have a little pop-up gift shop. We have all the chocolates that we produce. As well as all the chocolates we taste, there's some we use to compare and contrast. So we're able to provide a selection of chocolate that's hard to find in other places. We have chocolate tea. It's the shells of the cacao beans. We have something called the brewing chocolate that you mix with your coffee grounds. We have vanilla beans. We raise vanilla. We have our palm blossom honey. We've got some Steelgrass T-shirts and hats. And we do chocolate tasting kits. We also have an online gift shop so people can buy from anywhere in the United States. And, you know, one other thing on the tour that people really love, it's worth mentioning, is the fruit tasting. I get more compliments about this than anything else. And if you come to our farm tour, everyone says, come on it at the beginning of your vacation rather than at the end, because we teach you all of the fun fruits to buy at the farmer's market.
Yeah,
you're
going
to go to the markets here.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see weird green spiky things. You're going to see, can you eat that? Honey, I don't know. You're going to walk past it and you're not going to know.
Tom, you know, a coconut doesn't really look like a coconut. I mean, you know, you got to, it starts out looking something. And that is one of the best parts. Will, we've got to wrap this up here.
Sure.
Tell folks what it costs. How often they're available, how do folks, when you get to Kauai,
sure.
You don't want to wait to make your reservation for your tour because these are available in limited numbers. So
yeah,
we'll have a link to your website on our website, but tell folks a little bit, give them a little more detail.
Sure. Tour cost is $75 per person. Children 12 and under are free of charge. I would book at least 2 or 3 days ahead. Sometimes we sell out a week ahead, especially lately. We've been selling out more and more earlier and earlier, especially if it's a holiday time, so book early. You can book on our website, steelgrassorg.org. Just click on the Book Now button. It's really easy to book a tour. We have gift certificates on there as well. Of course, you can find us on social media, Steelgrass Farm on Instagram, Facebook. We're on Twitter, and you can also follow me on Instagram. I'm Kauai Will.
Excellent, Will. Steelgrass Chocolate is the name of the attraction. It's on the island of Kauai. Allow yourself a couple hours for the tour and allow yourself at least 15 or 20 minutes to find the place, because Kauai is not a big island, but Steelgrass is, as Will said, a little off the beaten track there. So give yourself a few extra minutes. The island of Kauai is such an incredible place. If you've never been there, or you've been to the islands and you've skipped that island for some reason, your schedule didn't take you there, it is a really unknown treasure, and it's a beautiful place. It rains a lot there. Maybe you went to Kauai one time and all you got was rained on. Well, go back, because it's the rain that makes it so spectacular and makes places like, gives them places like the coast that's so wonderful, and the canyon that you can fly over, and Steelgrass Chocolate, where you can go and learn everything there is to learn about tasting and eating and just falling in love with chocolate. Will, thank you so much for your time today.
It was absolutely my pleasure. Thanks for having me, guys.
Boy, I'll tell you, I never really thought much about chocolate trees and where they grow until we sat down with
When Will, you go to Steelgrass Chocolate, I'm telling you, walking you through the farm and tasting the fruits and tasting
the chocolate.
That's not particularly, you know, it's not like
an orange tree.
Well,
kind of thing?
Kind of, kind of citrusy sort of thing, but it's. It's fascinating, and they do a terrific job of telling people about all about chocolate. If you go to Kauai, whether you go with Sports Leisure Vacations in May, did I mention we're going in May? We have room for six more people. We would love to take you. We're going to Kauai and Maui, if you'd like to go with us.
And where do people go if they want to find
out?
They
can go to sportsleisure.com, and it will be right. You can look up our Hawaii trip for Maui and Kauai. It is in May. So you will have an excellent trip. And when we come back after the news, we're going to go back over to the islands and make another stop over there. Actually, it's not a stop. We're going to take you up in the sky. Flight seeing over the islands is one of the great things to do. And flight seeing over Kauai is where we're going next, right after the news.
You can travel by road. You can fly by plane. You can take a
Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the travel guys, with you, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. A few weeks ago, I mentioned that Mark had sent me a text message from Hawaii when he was over there, and had a picture attached to it. And it was from an airplane looking down on the ocean of Kauai, and Mark's going, we're out whale watching, and it was just absolutely beautiful. And of course, as always, I was. The two things that we all are, jealous and envious of Mark and his adventures. So, Mark, I understand we have a special guest with us today that is somewhat related to that photograph.
We do. Without that gentleman, I wouldn't have been able to send that photograph back to you, not because he works in technology, but because he was flying the airplane. Marcus Madsen is our guest on the Travel Guys. Welcome, Marcus.
Aloha, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You are very welcome. Marcus is across part of an ocean. In Kauai, he is a pilot for Wings Over Kauai, which is one of the flight seeing outfits there. It is the one that Sports Leisure Vacations uses. And Marcus, we had a great day to fly a couple weeks ago. I brought Matt, our videographer, over there. And as Tom was relating there, I came back home and, gosh, I was sending pictures from the plane. But when I got back home, I was just bubbling over because really and truly the most incredible scenery anywhere in the world has to be flying over the island of Kauai. It really is spectacular. What brought you there?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a funny story. My wife and I, we had been living up in North Dakota where I was teaching people to fly, and we vacationed out to Kauai, and then one of our last days there took a tour with Wings Over Kauai that I fly for now. And Ellen, the owner of the company, just mentioned in conversation they were looking for another pilot. I didn't think much of it, got back mainland, but then couldn't stop thinking about Kauai, so started emailing, and a couple months
you got
later,
back to the mainland to North Dakota, right?
Correct, yeah, to about 25 degrees below zero.
I was just going to say, how long did it take you once you got back to North Dakota to realize that maybe perhaps there was another opportunity that was awaiting?
It put the idea in right away. It took, I guess, a few weeks, actually, before we started more seriously considering it.
I'm guessing your wife probably had a vote in there somewhere.
Yeah, you can imagine she was pretty hard to persuade.
North Dakota, Kauai. North Dakota, Kauai. And I'm kind of a half a fan of North Dakota. I'm an old Nebraska guy myself. So, So I like the Midwest, but there's nothing like Kauai.
Marcus, with Wings Over Kauai, and now that you've been doing it for a while, what is it that you hear people say? What are the reactions when you finally get them up and over the islands and so forth?
Well, I mean, it varies by each person for sure, but you hear a lot of, oh, wow, and that was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. and you know, just remarks like that. A lot of people are actually struck more or less speechless by it. But yeah, that's part of the entertainment just for me to see how people react to the island.
You're the guy who does it every day, all day long, and you hear the reactions of people and things like that. What would you tell someone who was coming to Kauai and they were thinking about perhaps including flight seeing in their itinerary? How would you persuade them?
You know, so much of Kauai, even look at a map with the roads on it, so much of the island is only visible by air. I mean, really over half of the island, you have to get out there some way, whether it's a combination of hiking and boating. But even then, you're just going to miss out on so much of the island and a lot of the hidden places unless you do get up by air, whether it's helicopter or airplane tour. You're really not seeing the island properly unless you get above it.
Well, and Tom, you know, the island of Kauai has such a spectacular west coast that unless you're in an airplane or in a boat, you're not going to see it because there are no roads to go over there.
Our special guest, the pilot for Wings over Kauai, Marcus, Kauai has been used in a number of movies as a location, and I imagine there's a few somewhat historical or special sites that that you point out to your passengers. Tell us about some.
Yeah, I mean, there's an entire book, almost an inch thick, dedicated to movies and TV shows filmed on the island. But some of the more recent, more popular ones, I guess, certainly be the first Jurassic Park movie. You know, the iconic waterfalls from that. At least part of every Jurassic Park was filmed on Kauai, so I'll point out a number of areas for that. The newest, or the fourth Pirates of the Caribbean movie, 6 Days, Seven Nights, more famous from the 90s.
Yeah, interesting that you should bring that one up. That's the one with Harrison Ford where he crashes his small plane on the
exactly.
island.
We fly right by where their supposed crash was at the Kipukai there, beautiful beach.
Well, and of course, every day you fly over. I mean, you must see Puff the Magic Dragon on occasion because you're flying over the land that he lives in all the time.
Absolutely. If you remember where we saw the whales on our flight, just up slightly from there was when we flew right up the dragon's back.
Well, Tom, you should know that in a gift shop there on Kauai, you can, not too far from Hanalei Bay, you can get Puff the Magic Dragon, and I own one. So.
Oh, awesome. That's awesome.
some of us tourists are a sucker for just about everything. Marcus, thank you so much for a little bit of your time today and a little bit about flight seeing on Kauai. We will be back there ourselves in a couple of months, and you certainly gave us a wonderful trip. If anybody who is listening, if you are headed to that beautiful island and you are looking for something to do, it's not inexpensive. It'll set you back a couple $100s, but there are coupons and ways that you can reduce the price a little bit. But spending an hour in the sky with Marcus Madsen and Wings Over Kauai would be one of the best things you had ever treated yourself to. I guarantee it.
Thanks, Marcus. We are the travel guys here to make you a smarter traveler. And what would they say? Wings up? I don't know. There's got to be a slogan for you pilots. What is it, Marcus?
Yeah, we often say keep the shiny side up.
Can you believe that's what keep the shiny side up?
Keep the shiny side up. Okay. Sounds like he's flying a tortoise or something like that.
I just kind of I've been running that back and forth in my head ever since I heard that.
Yeah.
I love what it sounds like, but does it make any
sense? Shiny side up.
Is there like planes, do they make the bottom part of the plane?
Okay.
I don't know.
My broadcasting partner, Tom, who's been pretty much losing his mind all day today.
it's the weather.
A couple weeks ago it was my turn, and now it's Tom's turn. It's what happens when you become a travel guy.
I have to compliment you. You're doing extremely well. We didn't tell our audience that, you know, mere hours ago, it seems,
yeah.
Mark had a tooth extracted. And you would never know. I mean, most people with that kind of thing would... They'd be on medication. And by the way, are you medicated today or not?
I'm not. I've only taken two of those suckers since I had the tooth out 3 days ago. So I'm
kudos to your dentist.
I'm hanging in there. Dr. Scott Grievous did a wonderful job. A tooth extraction, and I've virtually, other than a very sore jaw, had very little pain at all.
You go to Scott Grievous.
I
will not
give
be
him,
grieving.
I will give him a shout out. Not inexpensive, but very good work.
Good.
Hotel gyms. Before Gwen Duncan joins us here on the phone in a few minutes to talk about passports, hotel gyms. Guests tell hotels that they want you know, wellness facilities.
And yeah, that's been very popular lately in regards to travel. People want to, they want to eat healthy and they want to go to the gym and they want to do all the right things. So what is the some new research you have there?
According to a survey conducted by the Cornell University School of Hotel Administration, says they surveyed about 800 people at 33 properties over 8 weeks, and they found out that 46% of the people said they wanted to go to the gym.
I want to go.
They're going to use the gym.
I will use the gym.
But less than half that many, 22%, actually made it to the gym.
No, I can't leave the bar.
They also found out that amenities like free bottled water and free in-room Wi-Fi were used much less than guests intended also.
Interesting.
Which tells me that since those are kind of like the main three things on the resort fee list that
resort
you're getting.
Fee, two bottles of water, free gym, and
yeah, 30
Wi-Fi
cents worth of water
one.
Every day, and your key will open the gym, which it previously did anyway, and and you can have Wi-Fi for free, which we used to rip you off and charge you for that before we came up with this stupid resort fee. So.
And people are just not using it.
They're just
at
not.
At that level,
and
anyway.
And so it's kind of interesting that some of the hotels are reporting that they're putting in these wonderful wellness centers, and then nobody is showing up.
Well, you know, what are they, like my mama used to say, the road to somewhere, heaven, I think it was, is paved with good intentions.
Good intentions. A Michigan native says that United Airlines is at fault for the death of her dog. She says the dog was supposed to travel for 10 hours somehow from Detroit to Portland with a layover in Chicago. Somehow it took more than 24 hours for a dog to get to her. And when the dog got there, he was very weak and he later died. Ouch. His 1 hour layover in Chicago turned into a 20-hour layover. Apparently the airline failed to feed the dog during the entire time. This is a really, you know, I people who really love their animals and their pets and stuff like that, and maybe sometimes there's just no other alternative, but
sometimes there's not.
Flying them in the cabin is not a good alternative, and flying them below the cabin sometimes is not a good alternative either.
Was the airline named there?
United.
Yeah, okay.
United.
That's going to cost him a pretty penny.
United Airlines said, "We were deeply saddened to hear of Jacob's passing after we returned him to the care of his owner. Our pet safe team is committed to the safety and comfort of all the pets that travel with us. Blah, 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 blah. Could we offer our condolences?" And we've been in touch with the lady to discuss this matter further. So there you have it.
Okay, coming up, people have been hearing a lot about this in the news for some time. We've talked about it a couple of times here on the air in regards to the fact that your driver's license in certain states could not
might not get you through TSA.
Cannot be used as legal identification to get you through TSA, as you said.
In just a few more months. And when we come back, we are going to tell our listeners how in a couple of weeks you can win tickets to the Broadway hit show Hamilton right on this radio program.
Oh, my God.
Right here on the Travel Guys.
This is one of your favorite songs, isn't it?
It is. Arlo Guthrie is actually one of my favorite entertainers. He is going to be in Livermore in April, and I am going to go see him.
Oh, awesome, awesome, awesome. By the way, if you just happen to stumble across this, you're stuck out there in the rain and the weather, going from this place to that. We are known as the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman, owner of Sports Leisure Vacations, our sponsor. Tom Romano, the guy who knows the travel guy, Mark. Because I travel a little bit, but Mark travels a lot.
Yes.
I'm here to make sure that Mark doesn't, stray too far off the road.
This travel guy and this radio guy have known each other for a few years.
Yeah, I'm off to San Antonio next week.
See ya.
I'll bring back some stories.
I'm off to St. Louis.
Yes, National Tour Association gathering, right?
Yes, we're going back there to find wonderful new things to do with our people. Joining us on the phone right now is Cordially Yours Travel herself, Gwen Duncan. Hi, Gwen.
Hello, guys. Staying dry?
We are. They've let us come inside today because of the rain. Usually we're out in the parking lot. So we're kind of happy that we're not out in the rain and the cold. Miss Duncan, you are here to tell us about how passport. I thought this is really interesting. Now, I know about what you're about to speak about the passports. But Tom, did you know that there's going to be a big crush this year for renewing passports? This is goofy. The reason is because in 2007, the government made a big rule change that required a lot of people to renew their passports. So there are a tremendous number of passports that come due
10 years
this
later.
Year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I thought that was really, that's the first thing on Gwen's tip list here, and I had never seen that one before, was that this year there are going to be a lot of people who are going to have to renew their passport. Never mind this other complication that has come up, Ms. Duncan.
Yes, actually, they're making several changes. Let me see, where should I start? They are going to be, one thing I forgot to tell you mm-hmm. is that on my list is that they are going to be putting chips in the passports.
Okay.
And they're going to update them. You know, the European market's been, countries have been so way ahead of us. Even on when we got the chips for our credit cards, they were doing it long before we did.
You know, it strikes me, let me just interrupt you for something here with a slightly political statement. It strikes me that we're all this worried about people getting into the country and stuff who are waiting 2 years to be vetted anyway. And yet, and Gwen just said it, European countries are so much, their passport technology is so much stronger. Doesn't it seem logical to you? And again, this is not a political statement about anybody. It just doesn't seem logical to you that the effort would be better spent making sure that the passport system was secure and strong and, you know, and that everybody coming in the country with a passport had a valid passport that was issued. Never mind. Anyway, so Gwen.
But one thing to mention, though, are there are countries that don't, that aren't really valid countries, if that means anything. They don't have valid passport offices. And those are the ones that are being restricted right now because there isn't a way to ensure that those are valid passports because the passport machines from other countries have been stolen and they're making fake ones. But that's another political thing we can talk about. But the passports, they're making some big changes. One of them is that they used to allow you to have a passport picture with glasses on, no more. So you can go through the whole application process, send in all your stuff, and they'll just send it back to you and say, get us an adequate picture without the glasses. And that just wastes time.
So for folks who don't know, if you're going to get a passport for the first time or to get it renewed, you have to send in passport photos. And so if you send them in with your glasses on, your readers or whatever, mm-hmm. then you would have to start all over from...
Resend it.
Okay.
But what if somebody wears their glasses like all the time, then...
No, they don't.
They don't allow it.
You still
don't allow it.
So when you go through the screening area mm-hmm. where you have to show your passport, then clearly you got to take off your glasses.
Well,
Yes.
That's
okay,
right.
Go on, Gwen.
Some countries are doing that anyway. I mean, I've seen that an awful lot. We were down in Cuba. They made us take off our sun visors and glasses. You couldn't have them on whenever you're going through the security. So that's a major one, actually.
Hey, Gwen, where's the best place to go for passport photos?
Oh, gosh. Oh, but best passport photos, I would highly recommend places like Sam's and Costco. They're very reasonable, and they know the rules of the sizes and everything.
We used to send everybody to Holloway Travel Outfitters, but, of course, John's not in business anymore, and so that's something. So Sam's and Costco does them.
Walgreens, no, I think it's CVS and some of these other ones. A lot of them have them, but they're very reasonably priced at Sam's and Costco. I mean, you know, to answer that question, that's where we get ours because they'll give you four and all that kind of stuff. That's kind of nice.
So what's the story with the driver's license and not being able to be used as a legitimate means of
ID?
As your ID for getting on domestic flights? Well, this is the deal with that. It used to be that originally it was January of 2017 that the states were supposed to be in compliance, and they're not. And so they did extend that. Again, they allowed extensions to many of the states to 2018. And some of them, there are very few of them, though, but some of them have got extensions up to 2020. But if you go and you're with a state that is not in compliance and show your license, this is after January 2018, you're not going to be able to board with just a license. So that's why there's another surge for getting the passports, you know, getting a pass. It's the only valid identification for, for your citizenship.
Now, on this deal, Gwen, about with all the people whose passports were renewed in 2007, so what's going to happen is, as we get closer to the summer, there's going to be a huge crush. So folks who are wise would take a moment now and renew their passport, because all these people are going to realize that their passport is expiring in the same year within the same short time period. And also, a couple things to remember, kids' passports expire in 5 years instead of 10. And also, now if you leave the country, you've got your passport has to be valid for at least 6 months after your return.
That's right.
Important thing to remember.
Yes, and the youth passports have made a little change with that. Of course, they're not renewable. They're only good for 5 years because kids will change quite a bit from 7 to 12, you mm-hmm. know, and so they don't renew. You just get another passport. But they're requiring that there's a lot of, you know, single family, you know, single parent families, and they have to have valid notarized statements and documents now to be able to apply for a passport for their child. So they have to get additional proof that it's okay to get the passport and to leave the country.
And one of these things we should talk about, Gwen, we don't have time today, but we should talk about how to get a child's passport, if that's any different than...
Oh, okay. Yeah, we should go over that. Maybe we can do that one of the next times.
Then getting over an adult passport also, and just again, a reminder to folks, if your passport expires in 2017, you are in a really large group of people. And if you are planning on traveling this year and using your passport, you would be well advised... Wisdom to make you a smarter traveler, to renew your passport now rather than waiting for the summer travel crunch. Is that, in essence, is that it, Gwen?
Yeah, and then there's one other thing if you've got the time. A lot of people, they'll go through, and you've got your choice of clicking, you know, putting a check on your passport that you want a 26-page or a 52-page. And I have always opted for the 52-page. I travel a lot, and so do you. But and a lot of people may not, but there are some countries you must have two pages empty consecutive to be able to enter them.
That's exactly right. Gwen, thank you so much. We're up against the clock. I'm going to let you go. Gwen is with Cordially Yours Travel. You can find a link to her website. If you need a good travel agent, you can contact Gwen. You can find a link to her website at travelguysradio.com. Thomas, we need to get out of here. It is almost 4 o'clock.
It is. Next week on
Thank
the Travel Guys.
Guys,
really, stay
Gwen.
Well, Gwen. Next week, a special program. Got a lot of great stuff. We're going to talk about one of my favorite things, road food.
Road food. Yum. Frito pies, yes. Icebox pies, all kinds of pies. The Kentucky Derby. The Indianapolis 500, if you're thinking about going to one of those great events, we will have a specialist on the air with us on the Travel Guys next Sunday. You all dance like nobody is watching.
Stay well, my friends. We'll see you next week on the Travel Guys.